intentionally annoying games, intentionally poor quality music, and an app you can't use. All that and more this week on Android App Addicts. Android App Addicts, episode 505. It's been a while, but we're back. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we'll have to decide. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week are the people you're really here to hear about, hear from, hear to for, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. It's a podcast night, and I'm in Q2 of HQ, so we're two of the 12 questions in. The first question just asked me what's a common flavor of toothpaste, and the answer was mint. That was question one.
All right.
I'm going to keep playing this while we're podcasting Okay. Until I lose.
Dor, what are you playing while we're podcasting? All right. Good.
Nothing. See, you guys aren't addict enough. Not addict enough if you can't always be doing an app while you're doing stuff you're supposed to be doing. I just answered McMansion was the answer to
McMansion.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've missed 2 or 3 weeks, or did I miss a week and then we missed two? I don't remember, but it's been a while since we've podcasted. Anything exciting happen in the interim for either of you?
I went on Dor's diet after seeing the proof in the pudding, hanging out with him in Orlando, Florida. I've been inspired to lose weight.
Yeah, Dor, you posted, I'm pretty sure it was you, a series of videos about the ketogenic diet, this weird bearded guy talking for like 30 minutes four times a couple of weeks ago. I watched those. It was really fascinating. There was quite a bit there I didn't know about. That was in the Google Plus community. So if you're not a member of there, you should go and be that, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was a set of videos. First one was shorter, and then it was like 20 minutes and 30 video. I'll say, to me, a lot in medicine, in medical, in health, in biology, isn't a true 100% exact science. So I'm not going to say what he said was absolutely 100% without a shadow of a doubt, effective for every human being on the planet kind of thing. But yes, it was very interesting. That to me is the best way to put it. No matter what you think, what he said was very interesting. And I'll say I'm now 13 months or so on eating less than 50 grams of carbs a day. The fat, I don't think I was eating enough fat, and that's one of the symptoms from not eating enough fat is the keto flu, as they call it. I don't know, but I know then I'm better with the fat now, especially because of cheese. I love cheese. And I'm not going to say I feel any better, in air quotes. I'm not going to say I feel great and my brain is sharper. No, I'll say I lost a hell of a lot of weight and I'm off my diabetes med and I'm going to be off my blood pressure med here in like 30 days.
That's my goal is to not start the blood pressure med because my doctor kind of gave me till next month to straighten out. Well, we've had a like 11 month long winter, so I haven't been able to ride my bike or anything. So like absolutely just last week was snow. This week isn't decent and I can actually get outdoors.
Well, I don't want to claim here's the truth, period. But here is some truth. If you take a look at a tree, for instance, when a tree grows from a little tiny sprout to a huge gargantuan tree, there's not a big hole underneath it. What made that tree wasn't directly sucked out of the ground. It was basically exchanging energy from oxygen and carbon dioxide transference into matter. Okay. When people lose weight, the only two things we can lose is water and carbon dioxide. Everything else is in infinitesimal small spots. So to lose weight, exercise is fine. It's good for overall physical health. But when it comes to actual weight loss, I think the real key is just what you intake, because that really drives the rest of your body. So I do believe part of my weight loss on keto wasn't keto itself. It was just the simple fact of the number of things I could eat was so much less. I ended up eating much less.
Yeah, as the triathlete running type people call it, you can't out-exercise a bad diet.
Gotcha.
That's a good line. And I'll say it like this. I can with absolute affirmation say, I do believe something else I read, which said, because when your body's in ketosis, your fat intake is much more than normal. Fat is produced, gets produced by the liver. Thus, your liver is very active and you will become much more sensitive to quantities of alcohol. And I will say, yes, yes, I have.
So you're now what would we call a lightweight?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is ridiculous. Yes.
Okay. Because I had that experience yesterday. I mean, I had two gin and tonics and woke up with a really bad hangover. Which
well, and here's some more bad news for you, Eric. A lot of the people I heard who have actual acronym or abbreviations around their name, like actual college-educated people, said it takes about 6 weeks for the body to go into full keto mode. So if your appointment for the doctor was about a month away, I'm not sure if you're going to see all the potential benefits. And from what I gather, not getting all the benefits is not good whatsoever for your body.
So in between there is bad. Once you get to the spot, it's better.
It's a state of change.
Yeah, so. I'm just going to have to do some talking and say, hey, I need a couple more months.
Well, if you tell him that you're being proactive about it, he should, I would think, be really.
Well, he gave me a year. Or he gave me 6 months, I mean. So, yeah, but it never warmed up. But they said that there's, you know, very negative side effects if your body's in ketosis and you're taking drugs like that at the same time.
I can tell you I am really lightheaded. I stand up semi-frequently, get dizzy. I get tired quickly. My extremities, hands, fingers, toes, feet get cold. I believe quicker because I'm on blood pressure medicine when I don't have to be. But he didn't want to take me off more than one med at a time. So he took me off the diabetes and then asked me to wait 3 months. So
you know, there you go.
That's This Week in Keto.
Yeah, that's Health Nuts. Wasn't that? That used to be a show, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we could bring that back just for the beginning part
of
the
Android. You reach a certain age. We are all of that 40-plus age where you start to realize that you have to take an active role in your own health. You know, health is just a thing that happened to you when you were 26. But health is a thing that you have to happen to when you're 46. It's a different thing.
I know. It's like, here we are, a bunch of old men talking about health problems. Hey, Mark. It's like,
you know, but between 25 and 45, I just assumed I would be around at 25 till 45. At 45, I'm not so sure about 65. You know, I'm going to have to make an effort to make sure I'm there, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd see 45 when I was 25 at all. I'm like, shit, where this plane's going down in flames.
I'm not going to argue with that. And I will say it was like we had a free ride when we were young. Like, I'll be all right. Body can bounce back. I don't have to worry about
that. You ever do things that you used to be able to do easily and now you can't? Or it takes you 5 days to recover from a thing you used to do?
Like tying shoes? Yeah.
It's like the other day I don't even remember what it was, but I picked up something extremely heavy. I used to be a very strong guy. I was a competitive weightlifter. I was very strong. And my brain still thinks I am that strong. My brain still thinks I can bench press 350. And so whatever it was, I went over and grabbed it and yanked on it. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to need some help with this. Can you come here and help me? You know, I guess I'm never really going to understand that I'm not who I was. I self-identified at you know, like 22. This is who I am. And I'm locked in at that. You know, same haircut, same music choices. That's kind of the way it goes.
I understand all about that, yes.
I'll move a bunch of logs or rocks or something and hurt my back, and I'll be kind of tingy for a couple weeks often now.
So we were talking before the show that this was like the Android Exhausted People podcast. I think that's another sign of getting old, but also it's just life. It gets around you. You know, my team at work, the leadership team said, hey, let's have a barbecue picnic kind of thing for the whole team, which is like 40 people. And hey, Mark, you like to barbecue. Would you like to barbecue for 40 people? Oh, sure. Let me cater this event for 40 people. And it was typically I get to work from home on Wednesdays, and we were going to do it today, Thursday. And I thought, okay, well, that's great. I'll have to work from home day so I can go out and like tend the smoker in between meetings, that sort of thing. That'll work great. I ended up driving 6 hours to a round trip, like 3 one-way and 3 back to a client site yesterday. I was on the road for it was about 5.5 hours for about 2 hours on site. Not a great efficient use. But what that meant was when I got home at like 6 yesterday, I had to do everything that I was planning to do all day yesterday at 6. So I smoked 30 pounds of pork shoulder and 20 pounds of chicken drumsticks. And I got all that ready and, you know, hauled it up in the smokers and everything. And it was full on catering service. And then my wife says, hey, you know, we're having a teacher's appreciation banquet next week. Why don't you do that for them too? I was like, all right, fine. Oh, turns out it's not next week. It's tomorrow. So, so in the last 3 days, I have catered two, or prepared to at least cater two multiple, two events of 50 and 70 people. And so if anybody knows anything about smoking, it's an all day process. You know, I'm not getting a lot of sleep. And so after we're done here, I got to go back and poke the smoker again and get up at 3 a.m. to rotate everything so that I can cater her event that she volunteered me for.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm tired. So if I say something even more silly than normal, just chalk it up to sleep deprivation.
You're admirable, man. You're more man than I.
You are a dedicated fella. I would have stopped at Piggly Wiggly or whatever and just picked up a tub of something.
I barely even fire up a charcoal grill much. You know, so do you have the pellet one? The smoker
I use actual wood. I don't. Hickory and apple are the two things that I like. Yeah. I took up smoking meats. Not smoking. In Texas, it's kind of a rite of passage. Once you get married, you're expected to know how to work a smoker. That's just kind of the way it is. And so, you know, 25-ish years ago, I started doing that. And if I do say so myself, I've become pretty good at it over the last 25 years because I do it 6 or 8 times a year, pretty much every holiday or every long weekend. I'm smoking some large capacity meat item. And today was my first time. I've been in Georgia almost 6 years now, and I've had, you know, people over to my house, but this was the first time that I've introduced Texas-style barbecue to a large group of people. And it was so funny because everybody was like, this is the best barbecue I've ever had. I've been to restaurants and not had this. This is amazing. There were 3 other Texans in the group, and they were like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, this is what I do know. In Texas, grilling is what most people call barbecuing. And then barbecuing is something very particular. And I do know smoking is like football in Texas. It is a very prideful thing when it's done very well. So when people get good
at it. And people ask me, you know, how long did it take you to do this? Well, that's a tricky question. The meat was in the smoker for 12 hours, but I started this on Sunday. You know, it's a 5-day affair to do it right.
So you're doing like rub on it.
First, you have to make the brine, and a proper brine needs to seep for a while. Let all the things steep out. So I did that like on Sunday evening, and then you put the pork in the brine, or the chicken, as the case may be, in the brine, and that needs, depending on the size of the cut of the meat, anywhere between 8 and 24 hours to do that. And then you have to dry it thoroughly.
When you say brine,
salt water with spices, yeah, and then you have to dry it properly. Which takes time. You have to. It's called the pellicle. It's a layer of protein that forms over meat when it's refrigerated open, and then you rub it. And then the rub needs to sit. You know, some people do it a couple hours. I like to do it at least overnight to let the rub do its thing. So now we're up to 4 days before anything even hot has been turned on.
Oh, you know? Man, I can tell why this is so good. You put your love into it.
And then I smoke it, obviously, for a while. I like to do low and slow, 200 degrees for ever, you know. And I prefer brisket, but here in Georgia, brisket is like $7 a pound. So I don't do that. So anyway, there you go.
Oh, chicken and pork.
And because I chose those two things, we have a diverse workplace, and there are people who, for faith-based reasons, might not want to do pork. And I know that poultry is often an allergic thing. In fact, we have one member on the team who is very much allergic to it. So not only did I have to do two different things, but I had to completely scrub down all my utensils and the cooker in between to make sure that I didn't either send somebody straight to hell or send them to the hospital, either one. So
right. Man,
I'm doing it all again for another group tomorrow.
I thought about getting a smoker a couple times, and I didn't realize.
If you're going to do it right, not only do you have to have a smoker, you have to have a fridge, a specific fridge for your meat products, you know.
Right. And then depending on the meat, you also might need 5-gallon buckets.
I have multiples of those. Yes.
Huh.
It's a whole thing.
Neat.
That's why when you go to the restaurant that specializes in that, it's so much better than what you can make at home because they do the time and they do the tricks, you know.
I was telling Dora before the show, there's a new barbecue place in town called Triple P's, and they sell a thing called pig wings, which is like a big chunk of meat with a little bone sticking out the side, and looks like a kind of like a chicken wing, but it's a big old fat pig wing.
Like a rib tip, probably.
They smoke everything there. It's really good.
I like to say smoking is the art of taking a throwaway piece of meat and preparing it in such a way that people stand in line to pay you to eat it.
Yeah.
My wife orders, it's called a pork sundae.
I don't even know what that is, but I'm in.
It's a mason jar, and it's got, on the bottom, it's got baked beans, and then it's got a layer of coleslaw, and then it's got smoked pork all over the top of it until it's heaping over the top.
So something we missed in the time that I've been here, up in southern Tennessee, which is about an hour and 45 minutes for me, there was the first ever Cleveland, Tennessee Bacon Festival, or as they called it, the Bacon.
Nice.
Well, they were completely and utterly unprepared for the masses that the words Bacon Festival put together produce. They were expecting a small, few hundred people. They were getting like 300 people an hour coming in from other. I mean, we drove in from another state to go there. So it was less than impressive, but it was their first year. I'm willing to cut up some slack. But just so you know, if you're anywhere near southern Tennessee, the Bacon Festival is a thing, and it'll be happening next year in April.
There's a beer and bacon festival here in the by Iowa, I think it is. I haven't went to it yet. So. For being unprepared, thought it would be? I mean, it was just different kinds of bacon.
There weren't enough stands. That was it. There were only like five food vendors, and there were easily 3,000 people there. I think they were expecting a couple hundred. And of the food stands, only two of them were even selling anything bacon-related. There was barbecue, but that's not bacon. And there was a stand selling bacon-wrapped pork chops. Bacon-wrapped corn dogs, rather, which sounds pretty awesome. You take a hot dog, you wrap bacon around it, you fry that, then you batter it, and then you fry it again. But it was like a 60-minute wait because there were so many people and so few things. And then the other one was selling pork skins. Again, not quite bacon, but fresh pork skins. That's kind of hard to pass up.
Chicarrones.
Well, you got to look on the bright side. They got to start someplace, and now they have a base to start off with.
Yeah. So give them a couple of years to get going, and then I think we need to have like a Pod Nuts community meetup at the Bacon.
I'm in.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Keto and bacon are friends.
All right. So that's a lot of fluff. Any Android hardware or software we'd like to talk about?
I'll just say on my end, everything I've heard remotely regarding Android is completely useless, wasteful to talk about. It's all stupid. It's all pointless, or it's all just hype, whether it be Linux coming on Chromebooks. It's going to be in a containerized VM, so you're not going to have the ability to do a lot of stuff. The new chat client that's going to be cross-carrier support, it's SMS, basically. Who cares when it happens? Nobody's going to care. Who cares? The new device news is, from what I can tell, pointless. And there still isn't a single actual documented encounter of anything Huawei or Honor or Xiaomi that actually have been caught spying on you. In the meantime, Facebook is spying on everybody and Google is spying on everybody, but the U.S. government's
not only that, but their profits are up.
I want to say it was twice or four times the profit this quarter versus this.
Remember the numbers. It was like up 50%, which is crazy.
It was a lot. Crazy. The only other hardware-related thing I'll say is thanks to all the support from everybody. Thanks to the fact that we are not a sponsored podcast by endless amounts of advertisement. Everybody's support, Jeff and Paco and Marvin getting their own advertisers for their shows. I was able to buy a capture device, an HDMI capture device that has true, genuine support on Linux. And even on Linux on ARM kind of thing. This is the kind of support this thing has. So anything that I can have a video output to, I will now have the ability to actually do a true capture without affecting the performance of the device itself. Devices I have, like my GPD XD, does have mini HDMI out, so that's now a possibility. With that said, the only Android news I have, hardware news I have, I will say is truly spectacular news that you are not going to hear any other podcast talk about, period. So. GPD XD Plus. It's the next generation mini handheld Android-based console, 4 gigs of RAM, Android 7.0, 200, and right now I want to say $220 brand new, will blow the socks off of nearly any other handheld gaming experience you could have, period, bar none. And it will blow away nearly any Android experience you could have playing games, without a doubt. So that's very cool. I'll try to have a link to it in the notes. I'm thoroughly enjoying my GPD XD, even though now I believe it's almost 3 years old. Still $150+, but still plays every single thing I load on it, including Battle Royale PUBG on it. So still a very comparable device.
So the GPD XD Plus, is this the newer version of the one you had?
Yeah, it's basically upgraded.
Seven-inch screen?
No.
It's more of a Nintendo DS size screen, right?
It is very, very close to being the same form factor as a Nintendo DS. The difference being there's only one screen on it. It's basically the exact same form factor as the previous GPD XD. Same physical size. It's very hard to tell them apart physically.
Okay. You've used the crap out of yours. Would you hope that they changed anything about the controllers or the buttons, layout or feedback of them or anything?
I would say, honestly, I would want them to change absolutely nothing except tweak up the hardware inside of it. The joy pads look like the sticks look like they might be a little bit more wearable, where mine have definitely worn, and my youngest son picked one of them, so one of them has like a little chunk missing out of it, so the tops of the joy pads look like they might be a little better, but it's hard to tell.
It says that it does have it's a 5-inch screen. Nice. I've got software news, kind of. That kind of goes along with that. I'm going to place an app in here, but as of today, the app doesn't really work. But the software works on all my other devices, including my phone in a browser. This is called Philo, from Philo. And I thought that we had brought this before, but I guess not. But basically, they've launched a $16 TV, 36-channel TV thing that's built into, they got a Roku channel now. It's going to have support for Fire Stick soon. And I'm hoping at some point their app works with more than just education campuses and stuff. You have to have a .edu email to log into that, but you don't have to have one. You get a free week. You get 2 days for free without even putting in a credit card or anything. After that, you put in a credit card, you get 5 more days, and then after that, it's $16 a month. And I'm loving it. It's been so long since I had like HGTV and all these channels.
It's working for you? Because according to the features here, you must be connected to the college or university's Wi-Fi network.
Now, for the app, like I said, the app doesn't work, but the website does. And the app, I'm thinking the website will come. And you could check it out at try.philo.com. I put the wrong link in here.
And that's P-H-I-L-O.
P-H-I-L-O.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say real quick is, if history is any example, this is going to be shut down.
Well, they're working with Nielsen, so I think that's the deal. I think that's how this works. Nielsen ratings are so crucial to TV, and yet as more and more people cut the cord, they lose that data. This is their way of trying to get back into the game.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's 37 channels, but I don't have any of those channels on my TV currently. With my cable subscription. So this really fills a niche because, you know, I like some House Hunters. But the only time I got to watch House Hunters was if I was staying in a hotel or I was at a hospital waiting.
Where do these people get all this money on House Hunters? I'm a 24-year-old pocket lint inspector.
I'm a part-time photographer. And my wife,
our budget is $700,000.
And our budget's $500,000. I know. My wife and I think the same thing, man. But I tell you what, it's just a little glitchy, you know, and so I use my phone to pull up the station I want to watch, and it's got, it's got a DVR built in for 30 days. It'll stay on there for you. But I use my phone, and then I just Chromecast it to a bigger TV using Chromecast. But the bad thing is I have to leave my phone screen on for it to do that, because I'm just casting my whole screen to do it. Or if I use the Roku, it's really actually much more of a seamless thing.
Cool. thanks for bringing an app that most of us can't use yet.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world for television. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there might be other listeners in the same boat that I was. You know, pay the Comcast.
I am a big fan of PlayStation View, by the way, but it's no longer cheaper. You know, they just keep raising the price. It's not a skinny bundle anymore, and it's not cheaper anymore, but it's still a good product.
Oh, speaking of raising prices, did you see Amazon's raising the Prime again now?
$4.
Isn't, you know what? I'm so glad I left them. Mean, and I heard you talking on the Mini PC show, Dory. You kind of went away too, huh? A little bit?
I'm literally like a millimeter away from canceling it for good. And then I look in my feed and I see Angry Video Game Nerd is now going to publish all of his stuff first and foremost on Amazon Video, and then days later publish it on YouTube. Anything that competes with YouTube, my nature is to support.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Support. So I don't know.
That's sort of like supporting Hitler to get rid of Stalin, though.
Well, Mark, you've been a part of American elections.
Yeah.
You know the dealio. The lesser of
two lessers. For me, though, Prime, at twice what I pay for it now, is still a bargain. In fact, the funny thing happened the other day. My daughter was out. My youngest was outside playing, and my wife was out. I don't know what. For some reason, they happened to be outside when the UPS guy comes by, which they typically aren't. Guy stops in front of my house, gets out of his driver's seat, walks back to the back little cargo area, rummages around for a minute, then comes out, sticks his head out, and says, "I usually have something for you. I didn't even look. I just stopped. But you don't have anything today." And then he drove away. That's what my life is like. And it's pretty much all Amazon. And they told me that. And I said, "Well, we'll have something tomorrow," so he can feel better about that.
Here's
my question. So the majority of things you buy from Amazon are less than $25?
A good percentage of them, yeah.
Okay. Because the huge amount of stuff I buy is well over the price where I would get the free shipping.
No, see, I buy lots of little things, you know, and it's every day. It's like a set of headphones or microwave popcorn or, you know, I mean, Amazon, it's for me, it's faster and easier to buy it from Amazon than it is to put it on the shopping list to pick it up at Walmart next time I'm there.
If you say so, everything I have ordered for the last 6 months has never shown up in 2 days. Even though we have a fulfillment center less than 35 miles from my house, everything I order has
I often get things next day. But I'm Prime and you're not, right? Oh no, you haven't
done
it
wrong. Okay. I'm Prime. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It must be
that could be it. I mean, let's face it, you have esoteric tastes. I buy stuff that the masses buy, you know, toothpaste and toilet paper.
Yeah. Like a $300 HDMI.
You're not selling 20 of those a day.
And I bought it from Amazon strictly because their return policy seems to be less hassle.
Outstanding. I mean, I bought a set of in-ear monitors, fancy headphones, basically, is all they are, and they were defective out of the box, which happens, you know. I went on Amazon, said, "Hey, I want to return these," printed the return label, and I'll drop it off tomorrow at UPS. I mean, that's as painless as it gets. If I wanted to pay a dollar, I could have UPS come to me, literally for a dollar. So yeah, the return process is amazing too. I'm an Amazon fan. I have sold my soul to the devil, but I'm okay with that.
You can always be redeemed, man. I was a Prime member for almost as long as they offered.
All right. How about we bring an app that people can use, Dor?
People. Okay. Well, here's an app that a lot of people can use. I cannot, and it makes me upset that I cannot. Quick diversion, quick tangent, if you will. If you want to be entertained, search on YouTube for Jolly Roger Telephone Ted, and you'll see a talk from a guy who worked in the caves of the telephone industry for years, doing all the backbone work, setting up all the first digital infrastructure kind of thing. So the guy understands phone systems. He got really sick and tired of telemarketers everywhere. So he figured out what he considered to be the best and absolute way to get them to stop calling you, but at the same time, making them waste as much money as possible, because he figured that it's a double win.
It's like a tar pit for telephone calls.
Yes, and it's all AI-driven, so the people think they're talking to a real person. They're not. They're talking to a set of recordings. And then the best off, they're recorded calls, and then they send you the MP3s when they're done. Oh, so you can entertain when you're done. Nice. I'm really close to just finally doing it, paying that guy. It's only $6 a year for a service. So I'm going to probably end up paying him $6 because I cannot use this app. This app is just called Phone from Google LLC. Tools, E for Everyone, completely free, no ads, no in-app purchases, 3.7 average reviews, updated April 25th, 2018, 10 million plus installs. Okay, here's the gist of it. They took what was the Pixel phone launcher, and they basically broke it out into its own APK. Now, this phone dialer, is what it is typically called on Android devices, has the power to pre-screen calls, and if it's a scammer call, you can basically, it will notify you big red screen, so you don't even have to answer it. I did miss one call this past week, and it was my oldest son's infusion therapy place wanting to schedule his next appointment, and I looked at the phone number, didn't recognize it, didn't answer it, because I was sick and tired of getting stupid phone calls. And I couldn't load this app because it isn't compatible with
I'm using it on my OnePlus 5. Like the day after I got the OnePlus 5, I chucked the dialer that came with it. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but just because I like the Google dialer. And for me, the spam, and maybe it's just me, the spam is just not an issue. I don't get spam calls very often. But aside from that, it's still why I think my favorite dialer of anything I've ever used. So even without the spam thing, it's just a really solid dialer.
I got a new phone number maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, never got any phone calls at all whatsoever. Somehow in the last 3 months, 4 months, it's went off the chain. Now sometimes 10, 15 calls a week.
Yeah, this is the one that comes with the Pixels built in, the stock dialer, and it will now not even pop up anymore. So that, I mean, I don't know if you used to get spam calls, but I used to. Now this dialer doesn't even let you see them. It just goes away. It's like, it doesn't even bother you one bit with a red screen or not.
That's cool.
It sounds it.
And
yes,
that,
I wouldn't
know. And that made me, I think it's the dialer or it's Project Fi, one of the two.
When was the last time any of you checked your spam folder in Gmail?
Every day.
It's been months.
Don't know.
I mean, for me, the spam problem has been solved. I just don't get spam. I may be missing some ham too, but I don't get spam.
Yeah, like twice a year, I find a useful email in there, and every week or so, I find an email that's ham that could be useful, but it's not, and I'm perfectly fine with it being there. And then 99% of it is just crap.
Now, my Outlook at work, I get spam all the time.
Right. So my point is, if I'm happy with Google defending my email, and if they're using the same AI to defend my phone calls, why wouldn't I do that? Other than, you know, giving my information to the Antichrist. Other than that, I'm all in.
Well, here's the only devil's advocate that you said. Andrew.
There's a lot of this subterranean talk.
Google has almost as much information on people as ISPs do. Because nobody even competes with ISPs. They have everything. But Google has an insane amount of information. But the difference between them and like Facebook to me is I don't hear anybody talking about getting data from Google, data breaches from Google, any of these kinds of security problems. Maybe I'm blind. Maybe so far Google's just lucky. But since that is at least what I see, I'm okay with the data they have for now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm all in with Google. Like I said, I never wanted to be here, but I used to be the conspiracy theory guy, and I wouldn't have a cell phone for years. But I'm all in. Okay.
All right, so let me read an email from Charles Surratt. I don't know. Is that it? Surratt. Anyway, Charles. It says, hey, Android app addicts. Today I found an app that lets you test your phone to see if security patches were actually applied by updates or not. The app is called Snoop Snitch, which was originally made to detect ISMI catchers, only with root. It's keep up the good work and love the show.
Okay, here's the dealio. Here's the hook. Here's the catch. Here's the Iggy. Here's the truth. This app is a lie. This app does not do everything. No, it isn't that it's a lie. It's that it doesn't tell you the entire truth. Neither have all the articles that go around and claim that all these manufacturers lie in their patches. They lie. They say they're up to date and they're not up to date. No, here's the actual truth. The actual truth is a large amount of these patches are specifically hardware specific. Hypothetical. We're on Windows. We all understand Windows. If you have a NVIDIA video card in your computer, then you need NVIDIA patches. You need NVIDIA drivers. You need NVIDIA software. If I have an Intel graphics card, I don't need NVIDIA patches. I don't need NVIDIA drivers. I don't need NVIDIA software. So, me as a manufacturer, if there's a patch that's for a very specific Snapdragon processor, and that Snapdragon processor is not in my phone, I will not include that patch in my software. It is stupid, and it is pointless, and it is irresponsible to, in fact, add that software into my device. So then you load these applications, and they tell you that you're missing the patch for Snapdragon. Why, yes, you are. You're supposed to be missing the patch. There is no software yet that I've actually found that actually will take a look at your hardware, your software stack, your kernel, your specific version of Android, then look at what patches it could be having and what are they missing. If you take a look at the research papers that the guys did where they claim that these manufacturers are missing between 0 and 1, right there's a tip off. If anybody releases a paper saying these manufacturers are missing between 0 and 1 patches, what the hell are they smoking? There's these who are missing 0, and then there are these who are missing 1. Who groups 0 and 1 together? That's just bad. And then these are missing 3 to 4. These are missing more than 4 counting. It's a very poorly done security paper. Steve Gibson on the latest Security Now started to pick it apart a little bit. He didn't go into great detail. I'm going to guess next weekend he's going to say just about what I said, that yes, you want to make sure your phone's completely up to date with patches, but no, these softwares are spreading a lot of FUD. And I will end it mini rant with, please show me a phone in a first world country that has been exploited because they didn't have these patches. Please, somebody, because I click everything. I click everything I've ever had come across my phone, and I have never been even remotely infected. And I've never in my life seen any Android device infected. Sorry.
Another pet peeve of mine was when the program says there are a R1 cookie in the jar. Come on, people. It's one line of code. If equals one is, else R. Sorry. Well, as long as we're...
Well, Mark, that would mean they would have to be competent.
I think we've had this exact conversation before, but it bothers me.
Yeah, and being like a light programmer, I like to call myself, it is very easy to say, "Nah, it's fine," and just move on.
I was talking with a programmer yesterday, and in the program that he wrote, it had a selection where there was 26 items, and it would show 5 of them, and then it would say, "Let me see all 21," or at the bottom, "Show all 21." No, it should either say "Show all" or say 26. Right. Little things, man. Little things.
So yeah, the reason I'm not commenting on your Snoop's Nits soliloquy show title. Is that I agree with everything you said. Security, being security-minded is a good thing. Being security-obsessed mm-hmm. is a bad thing. And the security-obsessed people tend to be the loudest ones.
Well, and I hate to say it like this, but the truth to me is guys like Richard Stallman, the guys who can't compromise anything for his life, can't compromise anything, hence he'll never be married and they'll never be happy. But we as human race need people like him. We need to be able to sit down and look and realize that's how far you can go. See right there. It ain't me. It's him. So I like people who honestly take that firm security stance because it reminds me I'm moderate. I'm a realist. Nothing is secure. If you want a secure computer, don't put it on a network. Take super glue, fill up all the ports. And then
one of the first times I was ever hired as a private consultant, the guy said, "You're here to make our network secure." And I said, "You got to pick one. You either have security or you have a network. I cannot make your network secure. If that's what you want, you got to hire somebody else. I can't do it." And then I was like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "By definition, once you connect two devices, you're insecure. So you got to pick one. Do you want network or do you want security?" He didn't hire me again.
That's how you lower the bar real quick. So don't over expect on this one.
Well, like he like could have said,
right. make us difficult to get into. Yeah, the idea is to be so hard to get into that, that hackers move on to another target. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Right. And then like the term that always comes to mind with me is low hanging fruit. The key is just don't be low hanging fruit. And now the definition of low hanging fruit means you're in the populace, you're in the majority. So I'm just going to say this right now. Anybody who wants to claim Apple is secure, just because they are so popular makes them more insecure, because anybody who wants to know how to hack into my phone, if I have an iPhone, can go buy any other iPhone and they're well on their way to understanding everything in my pocket. This phone is not popular in the US, the one that I have in my hand, which means if you want to know how to hack my phone, you got to go spend extra money and you got to buy something that, you know, isn't even easy to find.
What?
Well, there is no black and white when it comes to security. Everything is a shade of gray. The question is, what is that shade of gray?
I like mostly black myself. Yeah.
I don't even really think of security on my phone at all.
I mean, I do the really obvious stuff. I don't download something from a guy I don't know for something I didn't go asking for. You know, that's an obvious thing. Mm-hmm. But I think I've mentioned it on this podcast before. I don't run antivirus scanners on my PCs, on my Windows PCs. It's just not an issue. If you practice safe and sensible computing habits, viruses just aren't the issue that everybody made them out to be. Now, there was a time when the Wild Wild West was out there and people were directly connected to the internet without the benefit of a NAT firewall, when you needed some sort of protection. But we have moved that protection farther out. Now, a lot of it happens at the ISP level. It doesn't, not only that, but what doesn't happen there happens at my personal gateway. I'm just not a big believer in using CPU resources to scan for things that probably will never happen.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Edge, we have cloud computing now. The future is edge computing, where I think a lot of those types of microservices, sorry for the synergistic terms, but once edge computing becomes real, a lot of those kind of processes are going to be pushed further away from the cloud, further away from our actual usage computer, and be in that middle area where it's going to be, I'll say, have the opportunity to be much better. Because spotting unwanted wear is very easy. There are very simple algorithms you can follow, and you will not get infected. Hard. Right now, the number one vector is still Flash and Java and PDFs. That right there is your main vectors. It isn't like it used to be, like porn, when I was fixing computers. Had a guy every 6 weeks, had to clean his computer. Every 6 weeks, had to tell him, stop browsing porn. Every 6 weeks, he told me, take my money.
True. And there's still a lot of people out there that'll click every piece of email and try to open some invoice that they know that they're pretty sure they never should have received an invoice or sent an invoice to this person, but they still, for whatever reason, feel the need to open all that stuff every time.
Well, the developers, just like on game platforms, go where the money's at. Right now, there's not money in viruses and malware. There's no money in that. There is money in ransomware, and there's even more money in enterprise-wide crypto ransomware. But because of all the backups and them not getting paid as much, now they're all moving into the realm of crypto mining via infection.
Mm.
So, you know, my computer's going to be fine, but that web server out there running that thing, that's a free crypto miner just waiting to be infected.
Excellent discussion. Thank you.
Maybe at some point we can hack our own Wi-Fi light bulbs to be mining for us while we're doing laundry. I don't know. They probably don't have any.
Remember, it may still be a thing. The SETI at home project, where you run a screensaver and it would think. I mean, why don't we do that voluntarily for crypto mining? How come there isn't a cryptocurrency screensaver? Maybe there is. I've just never heard of it. But I would be in on that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm not gonna. Well, there is plugins you can download in your browser that every page you load will do a little bit of mining, and that money gets donated to a charity. There are things like that exist. I don't know how real they are. I don't know how true they are. I don't know. But I know that things like that exist, but I don't know how much traction.
Like the computer where I'm on right here is a great example. I use it for podcasting, and it's on all the time. 90%+ of its cycles are spare. I could turn it off, but, you know, I don't. Why not have it do something useful? Anyway.
Well, as long as they give you a slider in processor, because you don't want the thing tagged the whole time you're not on it.
All right, it's your turn, Eric. What is your next app, sir?
My next app is for Door. I don't know. Kind of Door, kind of not. So it's called Lo-Fi, L-O-F-F-E-E, Lo-Fi Music. So, you know, the logo's an old-time cassette-looking thing, like a 16-bit-looking cassette tape. And basically what this is music. I didn't even know this was a genre, but it's music that's made very compressed and, you know, like with no bass at all. And this app just plays quite a few selections of that kind of music for chilling out to and driving with and all that stuff. I mean, maybe you could go other places and find lo-fi music, but this is the first time I've ever heard of it.
This is for me?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's like 16 or 32-bit-ish music. I mean, sort of.
Did you click on the screenshot in the store?
Yeah.
It looks like they can't even do screenshots right.
Yeah, so they're not showing the bottom. Well, they don't want you to see if it's an iPhone or an Android.
Well, they have like half. It's like it's double wide. It shouldn't be that wide because half of it's just white. And it just made
I'm not that? Seeing that.
No, I don't see that.
When I click the images in the Play Store, they're twice as wide.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of blank space. Yes.
And yeah, it's like they can't even take screenshots.
Well, there's words across the top. Clean, easy, and relaxing user interface.
But then the whole white side, the whole right side is just a big white block.
I got blue. A blue background.
Okay, that's just...
It is a lot of negative space, but it's blue.
Okay.
I do like one of the reviews in this.
I'll say it like this. You got me in... I'm not going to say this is for me, because I listen to podcasts. I listen to 140-something podcasts.
Right.
But now in Android Auto, I can actually play my news. I can say play news, and it will now play it in my Android Auto. So that's a plus. But this interests me. I'm not going to lie, Eric. I did do Scream Tracker, is what it used to be called. Scream Tracker music creation back in the 90s. And I did share my music creations with Steve C.,
which Hi,
he
Marks.
Never said
no.
Which he didn't say anything back to me, which means they suck. And he's a nice guy, so he doesn't want to say they suck. But you have me interested. I will say that.
Oh, nice. But the your worst mistake was the review that I was reading. And
yeah, that's not the comment. That's the user's name. I was thinking the same thing too. It's like downloading this is your worst mistake, but no, that's actually the user's name. The review is very positive.
Yeah, she said that she was a lo-fi hip hop fan before she downloaded the app. I didn't know that it was a lo-fi hip hop.
I'm so not hep. Oh, that's what the kids today say, right? Hep. Yeah.
I don't know. Did you just assume my gender? I don't know what to say. I don't know. I literally don't know what to say. It is different.
Z doesn't know what to say. The chat room says that the white block is where the bass was before.
No internet, no problem. Lo-fi serves lo-fi beats even when offline. How do you do that? Is it a generator? Is it generating them?
Yes, that's what had me interested. So it's basically
download it probably caches it.
No, it wouldn't shock me if it's literally some sort of algorithmically generated beats. Now I'm sure there's only a certain set of algorithms that they use, but that's why I'm interested. No internet connection needed. Really.
I think they're cached or downloaded in the background somewhere because they actually have song titles sort of.
So here's the thing. For years, decades, yay, even a century, mankind was chasing fidelity. We want the perfect reproduction of a recording. We hit that somewhere in the mid-80s when we went digital. And now we don't want a perfect reproduction. We want an enhanced version. That's where dubstep and, you know, that sort of stuff comes in. When you watch a movie and you expect the thunderous, unrealistic bass, we've gone beyond perfect reproduction into enhanced one. And now we're going back the other way, but we're throwing away a century of advancement and going back to lo-fi binaural beat stuff. I stopped the world. I want to get off.
We saw what it did. How good was it? Really?
So they jacked Nicholas and said, you can't handle it? I don't know. I this is the kind of thing, Mark, I don't... Here, listen. Serenity now. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to anybody, and this is a perfect example.
I'm tempted to install it just for the pleasure of uninstalling it. That's honestly what I'm thinking I'm going to do.
Do you want me to play a lo-fi beat for you? So you got an idea?
I don't know. It might be copied.
Well, they say they got permission in the app, but that's up to you. You
go ahead. No, whatever. All right. I get paid by the hour.
You get paid?
Lo-fi. Wait. So this one's called Roasted Beans.
Beans aren't keto friendly. Maybe you shouldn't have played that.
I'm out. I'm done.
I saved you the ad. Okay, so that was morning coffee.
Let's move on. Let's not go. No.
Just there's nothing to it. Okay.
Dor, please bring your next app.
Okay, this is a distraction.
Oh no, not noodle cake.
Is it noodle cake?
Dang it.
It is noodle cake. Okay, this is a $5 game, so you ain't gotta worry about it. Okay. You'll never spend the $5. This is a pretty popular on PC game to speedrun and for people to show their talents, because this is a aggravation game is the best way to put it. This game will aggravate the living crap out of you. You can play the game for an hour and not make it one full screen. Okay, that's how aggravating this game is. Okay, it's called Getting Over It with Finette Fodery.
The description is awesome. Game I made for certain kind of person.
I love the icon. I think it's just the best icon. It's like Putin with a sledgehammer sitting inside of a.
It says black a game box. I made for a certain kind of person to hurt them. I like it.
Wow. So it's really hard then?
It is ridiculously hard. And here's the gist of the game. Picture, if you will, side view, you're a man. Below your abdominal region, you're stuck in a black pot that you can't get out of. Your arms are free. You have what looks like a sledgehammer in your hands.
The video's awesome.
And your only form of locomotion is swinging the hammer around, moving it around, and using it to catch on the surroundings and push off and pull your way up onto items.
These are the bullet-pointed features of the app. Climb up an enormous mountain with nothing but a hammer and a pot. Listen as I make philosophical observations about the problem at hand. Between 2 and infinity hours of agonizing gameplay, depending. The median time to finish my for my playtesters was 5 hours, but the mean was closer to infinity. Lose all your progress over and over. Feel new types of frustration you didn't know you were capable of.
Yeah, and I've watched speedruns where I've literally seen people go through the entire game in like 15 seconds.
Wow.
20 seconds. So, because they're really good.
Is the,
and they spent a lot of time practicing.
Andy Spin said, this is frustration.
Wonder how the controller
at its finest.
Is on the touchscreen controller for this. How does that?
Well, here's the gimmick. On the joystick, it's a physical joystick, and you go around. And that's what you do. You go around the edge of the joystick, and that's it. So I'm pretty sure you just push down on the screen, and you just go around in circles, clockwise or counterclockwise, and your sledgehammer can catch on things, or you can like push down and you'll like push yourself off the ground. You can almost like pogo stick, but it is an art form in manipulation of that thing because it is unbelievably precise, picky, finicky, and the physics are not in your favor. These are very not fun.
.com Gaming gives it a 5-star review and says, best rage game of the century. If you're looking for a serious challenge, get this. It's everything you need. Surrealism, Australian philosopher, man in pot, Yosemite hammer, a mountain, and a death snake. Get this if you have money.
I love the video. I think I might just like that video, just looping, watching him do that.
Well, here's the real thing. I encourage anybody, if you do download this game, play it for whatever, minutes, whatever, and then go watch a speed run on YouTube, and you will want to throw your device, because they make it look way too easy. They literally blow through the entire stage in like a minute, maybe minute and a half, where you spent an hour, and you couldn't move, 15, 20 feet. You can't even get over the tree in the beginning, kind of thing.
Mm. Man, it's almost a tempting door. I know I'll never go back once it beats me.
I love the a few seconds into the video, he says, "You could have made something like this if you tried."
Yeah, yeah, and I watched a normal run with, I believe it was Angry Video Game Nerd playing it, and it, you know, took him 5, 10, 15 minutes to get any distance, and every time you have any measure of success, out of the blue, like words of inspiration, yes, pop up, and they almost mean nothing. It's almost like a distraction. What the hell is this guy talking about kind of thing? It's just completely out there is what I want to say. Completely, utterly out there. You will not find another game of this caliber, quality, and aggravation level, I think, anywhere else.
Good find, Dor.
And it's Noodle Cake. I didn't even realize that.
It's like a train wreck. I can't look away.
I know. Don't you want that just to be your screensaver forever?
A funny thing happened to me as I was building this mountain. I'd have an idea for an unreasonably hard obstacle, but I couldn't bring myself to make it easier. It felt like my inability to best it was my fault as a player, rather than as a builder. The mountains build in our minds from efforts to climb them. It's our attempts to reach their summit that turns them into something real. Okay? How about we read an email?
Yeah.
So Captain Zero says, "I bought an LG G6 some 8 months ago. The G6 appears to have some issues with charging through the USB-C connector. The wireless Qi charging that is built in works just fine. I think it's really a software issue, as the phone claims there's a moisture in the connector even when there isn't. The default solution to this problem is to send the phone to replace the charging USB-C port. I was reluctant to do that, so I sprung for some deoxit spray and later the deoxit 100 fluid sold in small containers. Deoxit brought all my cables back to normal use. Even the cheapo Chinese cables/connectors worked perfectly after being treated with deoxit from Craig, is that a typo? I don't normally buy into these miracle fluids, but after trying deoxit, I am a believer. Regards, Christian, a.k.a. Captain, just use the stuff, Zero."
I never heard of this
stuff. I've heard
of it. I hadn't either.
I have.
You have? Is it mysticism?
It's just that it's an anti-oxidizing agent. So if you have rust or oxidation on your mechanic, it deoxes it. Deoxit, hence the name. It's like super WD-40.
Okay. I literally never heard of such a thing.
And I think it's popular for like computer people, or
musicians use it for spraying in noisy pots. Also, if your knob is noisy.
Oh yes, yes, the crackly volume knob or whatever, stuff like that.
And it is Caig, C-A-I-G, so it wasn't a typo.
Gotcha. Well, I'll say first off, Captain Zero, stop buying cheap, crappy cables from China. Number one, buy good cables from people like Anker. Spend the money. You'll be very thankful. And here's another really side tangent.
Yeah.
My car, USB-A socket, full-size USB. My phone, USB-C. 8 out of 10 cables I buy will not work. I plug it into my car. I plug it into my phone. Android Auto does not work. Only the highest of the highest quality cables I buy, I plug up and my Android Auto turns on. I have no idea. Maybe it's a speed thing. Maybe it's a power thing. I don't know.
That's working wirelessly on Pixels, so hopefully that's coming to your phone so you won't have to worry about plugging it in pretty soon.
I'm still going to plug it in because I want my phone to charge
it, yeah. But the crappy cables charge your phone, right?
Well, yeah, but then I also believe, well, if it works, then it must be charging my phone faster, too.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, Monster Cable likes to sell things for $11 a foot or something, but that's ridiculous. But also, there is truth to a high-quality cable is a better experience than a low-quality cable. You know, it just is what it is. You got to find that middle ground between what you're willing to pay and what you get.
Anchor, you brought them up. They've got a Kickstarter going right now that they're selling a 2-pack of security cameras. I guess they're nice high resolution security cameras, but they've got a battery in them that'll last 1 year before it needs a recharge. So it's truly wireless. You can put it anywhere you want as long as you got a Wi-Fi connection to it. And I almost pulled the trigger on that one.
I will say, Rich from the Mini PC, so I believe, said they're not Anchor cameras at all. It's a lie. They're just rebranded somebody else's cameras.
Really? Well, I mean, the lenses in them are Sony, but I'm surprised. I don't know. Seems like I got an email from Anchor telling me about it, though.
I'll say this. Everything I've ever bought from Anchor, I really like.
That's A-N-K-E-R, if you guys are looking for laptop batteries or any kind of batteries and cables.
I started getting a warning on my 5-year-old laptop that the battery will no longer charge, and I'm trying to decide whether I care. You know, do I spend the time, because it's a sealed case, right? So I'd have to pop it open and break the glue joints and all that, or I could just go buy another laptop. But, you know, it still works. Other than that, it's hard being a Taiwan sometimes.
Well, how often do you not
now
have
never
it plugged in?
But I mean, part of the issue is that I left it plugged in more than I didn't for 5 years. But yeah, I mean, at this point, I can't even unplug it and walk across the room with it. It just, as soon as I unplug it, it's gone.
Oh, I have one of those that's attached to a TV, and it's in. It's always shut. It's always on, and it's just always plugged in, and it's just one of the HDMI inputs.
I have one of those down in my man cave, connected to the projector. Same thing. It's old and shot, but it's fine for that. Eric, empty your tank, my friend.
All right. Screensaver, or just some kind of trippy video art thing. This is called Zoom Quilt by Nicholas Baumgarten, T for Teen. Once you install this, it's like a never-ending piece of artwork that just scrolls through. It's a looping one, but it's got a pretty good long story to it before it ends and starts over. But it also, you can use it as a live wallpaper on your phone. Really kind of psychedelic and weird art.
Mildly disturbing.
Emphasis on mildly. Here's my question, Eric. It's called Zoom Quilt.
I think because it's a bunch of pictures not quilted together.
Not scroll.
It says infinite quilt. Zoom, whatever that means.
Because it zooms in. It's not a side. I'm sorry. It's not a side to side. You're constantly moving forward through this art.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. You have no control over it. Correct. You just constantly go towards the middle.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen. This is not. Here's the gimmick. This is not an application. This was a piece of art on the internet for a decade, and somebody just turned that basic GIF into a moving picture for your phone. Because I've seen this exact piece of work.
Yeah, it seemed familiar.
Says it's
to me
from
too.
2004.
Yeah. I was close. I said a decade.
Yeah,
I get partial credit, but yeah, this is the kind of thing that if you want to like zen-like zone out and just stare at something,
so is that going on behind your like app drawer? Like you've got your apps and your widgets, and that's going on behind it. Eric, you showed a full screen view, but is it also a true wallpaper?
I mean, on my home screen, it's got my apps on top of it. I don't know about in the app.
Yeah, home screen. That's what I meant to say. Those are the words I meant to use.
Yeah. But no, it does have icons on top of it. But this actually has. Last time it was updated was December 28th, 2013. I didn't realize it was. I don't know how I came across it. But.
Well, we never brought it. So.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Eric?
I think people in tubs would like that one. Here's another one. This is just kind of a little. I guess they're GIFs. You take a picture and you can like GIFify certain areas of the picture or like add sparkles over here while you're making water flow over there. It's a lot of work, but you can make some pretty neat pictures with it. It's called Plotiverse Photo Video Editor. When you install this, there's a lot of things creations that people have made that you get to check out, and it gives you a really good sample of what things can be done with it. And then you also have the opportunity to start making your own too. But they do, I mean, the things some people are making, it seems like there's a lot of work to it. I don't know if the video in here really has the best, you know, I think the video in here is older than people have been working on a lot longer since then.
Matt Gill says it's no longer free, not worth a monthly fee. Other free apps do the same thing. Edit. How do I add an image? It's not worth it, but how do I make it work?
They must have came back like, oh, maybe the other ones can't do it. I didn't get into it enough to know. I can't help her.
It almost looks like a Instagram-esque.
Yeah, sort of.
Like helper tool.
It says voted one of Facebook's top 5 apps.
That's probably where I got it at. I asked Facebook, what are your best apps, Facebook?
All right. Anything else, Eric?
That's it. That's
empty tank from Eric. All right, Dor, do your worst.
Huh. I'll say real quick. If you invest the time in this app, I could see you doing some pretty cool things to it. I don't invest time.
If you're interested in this kind of stuff, if you install the app, you can definitely see the different things it's very Instagram-y looking as they pop up, and then the GIF starts as they start.
Gotcha. This is another one of the like education type apps I seem to bring every now and then at least. This one's called Grasshopper Learn to Code for Free by Area 120. And I honestly think, if I'm not mistaken, they might be like somebody that Google actually pointed out as being a good company for doing
it. It's a Google project, as I understand it. Google is funding it.
I remember it being one, I thought.
Okay. I knew it was something like that. Unlike what I brought in the past, like three shows, which were teaching you more fundamentals of like how programmatic and formulaic code can work, this is actual code. This is full-blown code. So this, to me, is not for like an eight-year-old. Well, I mean, it could be, but this is for somebody who already has, in my logic, a base understanding of computers and what a file is and stuff like that.
We had had this back in episode 296.
Oh, crikey. Well, at least it was 200 episodes.
Yes.
I'm going to lie and say that makes it better for me.
Sure.
Okay. So if you want to learn to code Grasshopper, I think it's pretty cool. What I'm going to bring next here, this is very similar to a game I brought maybe 30 episodes ago, and I do not remember the name of that game. I know I had it installed on my phone for a while. My kid loved it. This one is called Vandals by Arty Experience Puzzle Game, 38 reviews, $5.49 to buy. So again, Mark, you have nothing to worry about.
Oh, yeah.
This has 4.8 average reviews, 5 star reviews, 1,000 plus installs, 28 megs, updated April 24th, 2018, current version 1.1.1. If you have too much Google Opinion Rewards money and you want to spend it, I will throw this up as a candidate for it. It is a puzzle-based game where your goal is to basically avoid police, avoid being spotted, avoid the security guards, and go in a very predefined grid pattern of possible movement and basically do graffiti is your thing. You can put out sound waves either accidentally or on purpose to alert people around you. You can sneak, you can do like secret passages from one area on the screen to another. To me, just good developed game with a very easy to understand way to play. It is also on Steam and on Apple, of course, I'll say. But a very interesting game, I think. Hopefully it comes down in price because $5.49, I think it's a touch much for it, but I still think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks very... I can't remember what the name of that game was either, but this does look a lot like a very good-looking game.
Yeah. Really quick side mention, I'm going to say. This is not going to be in the notes. For a very long time, we as a community have not had a real, full-blown, officially supported Android to run on the Raspberry Pi. They're up to developer preview number 8. They've had 8 preview versions of it. A lot of the rumblings are they're getting very close to making it final and releasing a full-blown official Android for the Raspberry Pi. When that happens, if that happens, expect Raspberry Pi sales to skyrocket, at least temporarily, and a lot of small homegrown solutions doing home theater PC-type experiences to really take off. Like, you'll be able to go to flea market kind of thing, swap meets, and buy Raspberry Pis in little cases, running Android, letting you do all kinds of stuff on it. I think it's going to become a lot more popular because when it is officially supported, the developers do a lot better job with driver support, driver optimization, hardware optimization, and actually doing official updates. I'm going to bring this one too here. I'm a Nintendo Switch guy. Eric, this is for you too. This is called Switch List, Nintendo Switch Games by Firestream, Tools E for Everyone, completely free, no in-app purchases, no in-app ads, 8 reviews, 5.0 average, they're basically all like 5-star reviews. Updated April 26, 2018, size 1.4 megs, 500 plus installs, version 1.1. Very simple application that basically tells you in a list form what games are coming out, what are the categories of those games, links directly to the official Nintendo eShop pages where you can buy them directly on Nintendo or watch the videos on it. We'll let you search their database, we'll show you what's upcoming, and we'll show you what's already out. Very simple, plain application, but does it the job as far as I'm concerned.
I've never bought anything off the eShop yet. Would you recommend buying, if you were like going to get your son his own account for the Switch and he was going to buy his own eShop stuff, like a temporary debit card, like one of those ones you buy, like a Visa card you can buy, reloadable one, or would you buy Switch gift cards?
You're technically, if you want to be the most efficient possible, you go into Game Places or Amazon and buy Nintendo eShop cards. Yeah. Or you can simply link it to a PayPal type account, or like the one-time credit card. To me, there's always a fee assigned with it. When you go into a store and buy like an American Express or Visa card, there's always a fee. So I typically don't do them. I have mine connected with it's a PayPal credit card, debit card kind of. And my son has his own card. So he has his own account with his own card, even though legally he might not be able to have his card. He has his own card. And if you are cheap like me, you don't want to buy physical games. Physical games are always $35 or more. Some of the best games I've experienced and some of the games I've had the most fun with are $20 or less. I would say that.
So I want to throw one thing out to the listeners too, if they want to help me out. I've been, and this I'll bring my findings to a future episode, but I've been experimenting with an old Note 4 that I have that's not doing much, trying to find a good app that I just want to turn that Note 4 into a dash cam. I don't want it to do Wi-Fi or hook up to any networks, but I want it just to be an HD dash cam. I've tried a couple apps, and they're both a little clunky, the ones I've tried.
Well, to be a real useful dash cam, it has to be connected, and it has to upload all of its information. Because if you're in an accident and it gets destroyed, you want the video.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about that. I just want to pull the SD card out and take some video off of it when I see a deer or something crazy happens, and I can, you know, go viral on YouTube with it.
Well, okay, no. Nothing will do what you want it to do then, period. Because real dash cams record a buffer and then dump all the video unless you explicitly say save. And you got to say it like real time. If you're driving down the road and a deer jumps in front of your car, you got to tap the screen, and then it will save the previous 30 seconds and the next 30 seconds kind of data. Mm. Because there is no card that can handle
real time
that amount. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping there would be some kind of an app that would stream to the card and then just rewrite itself as I go. But
your card would die in an hour. The best app for this, I'll say, I found there's actually two. Nexar, NEXAR. I brought it maybe 20, 30 episodes ago. Okay. NEXAR, the AI dash cam for safety and evidence. This can record both the front-facing camera facing towards you, so it shows you, the driver, what you were doing, that you were paying attention kind of thing, and can show the other video in the recording. If you have sudden stops, if the gyroscope suddenly stops, it will record it for you. Mm. Kind of. And I do believe it will option to always first only save locally. I think to do the cloud saving, it actually costs money. The other one, really, now that I think about it, it's not really that kind of dash cam. I'll say Comma AI. It's not really that kind of dash cam. That's more, you're just collecting data. Chauffeur, SHFFR, dash cam by Comma AI. You're really just gathering data for him to make his self-driving car better. That's not really dash cam. So I'll say Nexar is my one that I'll vote for you.
All right. I'll give that a try. I've tried a couple of them. Neither of them were Nexar, so I'll give that a try.
Well, and if you, the listener, know any, let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the reason I say that none of them are any good kind of thing, and they don't work very good, the same reason why, for the most part, no Android phone is a good security camera. Because Android phone cameras are not built to be on more than 28 seconds, 30 seconds kind of thing. And because of EU regulations, they're not meant to be on more than 29 minutes and 59 seconds.
So what I should probably do is go on Facebag, sell this phone for $50 and go buy a dash cam.
Yes, but you'll get what you pay for. It's very easy to buy a dash cam that will break after a week and not work. I've heard many people be very disappointed with what they purchase on dash cams. If you want a good one, I'll just say, if anybody out there already owns one, let us know what you think of it, because, you know, that's the only kind of recommendations I believe with this kind of tech.
Maybe Anchor makes one.
I know I can probably help get you one at a reduced rate from a major U.S. manufacturer. I'm trying to remember the name of the company. They do Garmin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we done? I was just waiting for my moment to jump in there. Okay. Any other app stores, or is that it?
The only one I'm going to throw out there, just really quick, it's called Ace Academy Black Flight. And the only reason I'm bringing this is by Illumination Games, same people who just came out with Skies of Fury DX on the Nintendo Switch. Because I listened to a podcast called Toronto Game Devs, I believe was the name of the podcast. They interviewed the guy behind it. Yeah, Toronto Games, GameDevs.com. They interviewed the devs behind that game, and then I find out they have the precursor to the game available on Android. So it looks similar in nature, and it looks, to be honest, just as fun is what I'm going to say. So I was going to give this a shot.
It looks like
one
that I4 recommended too about World War One. I'm going to have to.
His, I think, had better graphics. I will say that.
I haven't checked that out yet either. This looks pretty cool.
Yeah. There's something I like about the idea about dogfighting, air combat, and especially when you interact with things on the ground. I think that is
cool. Strafing a train is, yes.
Well, and it seems like the older the plane, the more I like it. The jets are just, you know, they're jets. I like the old Bidens.
Yeah, this looks fun, man. I'm installing. Good job. Good find again, Dor. I think I've installed more apps during this show.
Well, and if you take a look at Illumination Games, they also have another flying game called Ace Academy Skies of Fury, which is like the true game before the other game. They're both just, to me, look really good. They're both free. They both have in-app purchases and ads.
They also have Bee Odyssey. You fly around like a bee.
Yeah, I didn't download that.
Guy in the tub says, Dor likes dogfighting. Call Michael Vick. Different kind of dogfighting.
Yeah, this was the one that I just love the art style. I just love this art style, this second one, Skies of Fury trailer.
Definitely installing the first one there. Looks like the kind of game that I could get sucked into, and I've just sucked 1 year of your life away.
Oh, like the cartoony kind of look like that.
All right. Anything else, Dor, app-wise?
I'm tapping out. I'm like you. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go.
All right. So let me just review that list of apps. That's Philo, Edu by Philo Inc., the one you can't use. Phone by Google LLC. Snoop Snitch by Security Research Labs. Lo-Fi Music by Cube Apps. Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy by Noodle Cake Studios. Curse you, Noodle Cake. Zoom Quilt by Nicholas Baumgarten. Plot-A-Verse Photo Video Editor by Plot-A-Graph Inc. Grasshopper Learn to Code for Free by Area 120. Vandals by Art Experience. Switch List Nintendo Switch Games by Firestream Tools. Ace Academy Black Flight by Illumination Games. And Ace Academy Skies of Fury by Illumination Games.
A lot of games.
12 apps for your listening pleasure. I would also like to take a moment to thank a couple of wise fellows who decided they wanted to support us in a very tangible way, and that is Matt Vitas, who made a new pledge on Patreon, and Jason Parker, who bumped up his pledge on Patreon. You guys are the engine that makes this machine run. Thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'll now say it's official. If anybody out there, because look, I bring too many games every week. It's information overload. I cannot pick and say, I would like to do a video for this. If you guys have stuff out there that you want me to record on, I can try to load it on the GPD and record a video for it without affecting the performance of the game whatsoever. To me, that's a big plus to it. And then I can post it. First, of course, to Patreons, and then after a little bit of time, it will be released to the public.
And the patrons who are over $5, I still haven't had any requests for 3D print jobs yet, and I've got two spools of black PLA getting shipped right now, so I'll be ready for you. I only got a few more fence caps to make, and then that PLA is yours.
Guy in the tub says, tell them to come to the chat room. So I am doing as instructed. Come to the chat room. We record live at 8 or 9-ish p.m. Eastern time on Thursday evenings, and you are welcome to come to the tub. That is at podnuts.com/live. You can join the chat room there. You can also find us on the IRC. Which one is it? Door free node, right? Pound Pod Nuts is the chat room there. So we encourage you to join in the fun and be a part of the show. Dor, any final words of wisdom before we say goodnight?
Thanks, everyone. Mark, Eric, love to talk to you guys.
And I apologize for being out of town last week and not having a show for a couple weeks. So we're back. I know how frustrating that can be when you expect something like on a Sunday night. Like, oh, man, what happened? My feed, something's broke. Oh. No, it's just us. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, you get what you pay for. Just going to say that. I am happy to be back with you, although I am nigh on to exhausted. But yeah, I do miss you guys when we're not here. I thank you for letting me be a part of this show each and every week.
Mark, go smoke some meat.
Well, it's already in the smoker. I just got to go jab it and baste it and, you know, lavish some love on it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Those of you in the chat room, thanks for hanging out with us. And I guess we're done. So I'll just remind you, as I like to do, pay for what you like. And we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
Hey friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.